Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's BloggingTheBoys.com. My name, RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB, and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Monday, October 14th, 2019. It is a post-game episode of The Ocho, Cowboys-Jets post-game. It is Monday, and it is not a victory polo Monday, which can only mean one thing. Oh, no. The Dallas Cowboys lost on Sunday. The Dallas Cowboys lost to the New York Jets. 24-22, the final score at MetLife Stadium. The Cowboys falling to 3-3. The Jets getting their first win of the season. Now 1-4. 1-1 in the two games that Sam Darnold has played. That's right. Sam Darnold diagnosed with mono after the team's first game of the season. A loss to the Buffalo Bills. Literally healed up. Thank God, good for Sam. Got well, returned to NFL action, and in his first game back, defeated the Dallas Cowboys. It is, wow. I really am pretty stunned. Wanted to wait a little while to put together the podcast and everything. Sunday was obviously, all Sundays are really busy. But with the ALCS going on, by the way, congratulations to the Houston Astros and getting their first win of the series. But just kind of wanted to be able to put together all the thoughts because you know how it is. Sometimes things kind of trickle out and there is no way around it. This was ugly from the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know how you lose this game. And I picked the Cowboys to win, and I've said that in a number of places. I said that many times here on The Ocho. I said it on the Saturday Morning Hangover on Saturday morning. I tweeted it a bunch. I mean, I wrote about this. In no world should the Cowboys have lost to the Jets. And, I think some people know this, but for a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, I do a lot of the tweeting behind the Blogging the Boys Twitter account. You should follow me on Twitter. I'm at RJ Ochoa. And please follow us at Blogging the Boys. We are at Blogging the Boys. We're also pumping out a lot of stuff on Instagram. If you want to follow us there, blogging.the.boys. I am at RJ Ochoa there as well. I made it simple for myself. Got the same username, same places, or different places. But either way. We had a tweet on Sunday afternoon during the noon games. And, because you know how Twitter is, like they have fun. And the Philadelphia Eagles got destroyed by the Minnesota Vikings. And so we had some fun. And, we know the guys over at Bleeding Green Nation, SB Nation's Philadelphia Eagles website. We know them really well. So we like to have fun and like to poke with them and stuff. And so, we were just kind of having fun on Twitter. I mean, because, again, the Cowboys should have beaten the Jets. And we had a really bad tweet. I mean, I'm talking like all time bad. We got old takes exposed and whatever. I mean, that's part of the fun of Twitter. I mean, when you look stupid, it is what it is. So we looked really bad. We were certainly counting our chickens before they hatched, whatever phrase you want to put on it. But I maintain this because I got the take last week a lot from a lot of people, a lot of tweets and stuff, a lot of emails. I don't know, man. Cowboys might lose to the Jets. And I realize that what I'm about to say is going to sound dumb because the Cowboys did lose to the Jets. But I don't believe that anybody actually thought that the Jets could beat the Cowboys. And let me explain. What I believe is that the people that said that were just so down on the Cowboys that it didn't matter who the Cowboys could have been playing this week, whether it had been the Jets or the Bills or the Dolphins even. I think anybody the Cowboys would have been playing in week six after the way they played against the Packers, people would have said, I don't know, man, insert team here could beat the Cowboys. I wouldn't be shocked. And so while, yes, some people did quote unquote call it. In our very bad tweet that we had from the BTB account, I mentioned that it would take a catastrophe for the Cowboys to lose. And I really felt that way. And I do kind of feel that way. I mean, I feel that a catastrophe happened, a coaching catastrophe happened. Every week at bloggingtheboys.com after the Cowboys game, I've mentioned this before, I do five winners and five losers. And we talk about it. And we just, you know, pick five people that did well, five people that didn't in that particular game. I didn't even do that this week. I did 10 losers because, I mean, how can you be the first win of the season for the Jets? And to be fair here, you know, to all of us, because we're all kind of dunking on the Cowboys right now, the Jets with Sam Darnold are a very different team than the Jets were with Luke Falk. It doesn't make the loss any less disgusting. It doesn't provide any sort of excuse, but it is worth at least talking about when discussing the context of this game. And Cowboys, again, lose 24-22. These are the Cowboys' possessions against the Jets. All right, possession number one, punt. Possession number two, field goal. Brett Maher comes out. Possession number three, punt. Possession number four, turnover on downs. The Cowboys went for it on the Jets' 7-yard line, did not get it. Possession number five, punt. Possession number six, their final one of the half, field goal. Possession number seven, field goal. Possession number eight, missed field goal. Brett Maher had been 3 of 3, missed his fourth field goal. And the final two possessions of the game for the Dallas Cowboys, touchdown, the Zeke rushing touchdown, and then the Dak Prescott one, which was incredible. Meanwhile, the Jets had 10 possessions in the game, if you count the end of game. Punt, touchdown, punt, punt, touchdown, touchdown to end the half. Interception to start the second half off. That was really kind of a welcome boost for the Cowboys. A punt to start the fourth quarter, or their possession to start the fourth quarter, I should say. A field goal that kind of iced it and put it out of range for them, and that led to the very infamous video of Jason Garrett and Joe Thomas and Malik Collins. We'll get to that in a second. And then the final possession ended the game. Ultimately, time of possession, 32 minutes and 3 seconds for the Cowboys, 27 minutes and 57 seconds for the Jets. Cowboys 10 of 17 on third down. That's good for 59%. The New York Jets only faced 10 third downs. The Cowboys, for instance, or for comparison, converted 10 third downs. Again, they attempted 17 of them. The Jets faced 10 third downs, converted 2 of them. 20% third down conversion for the Jets, and they won against a team that converted 59% of the time. In terms of total offensive yards, Cowboys 398, Jets 382. Cowboys won that again. Cowboys won the time of possession. I mean, what's the reason that they lost? It's hard to put your finger on. It truly is. It's hard to understand. It's just failing in a weird way at the absolute right time. The right time for losing, obviously. I mean, just failing at the worst possible times and literally creating the most difficult circumstance for you to try to come back. That's what we're dealing with here. I mean, the Cowboys are just, I mean, it's unfathomable, honestly, what they have sort of done. I mean, on offense these last now 3 weeks, because here's the thing. One of the biggest losers, I didn't write this, but one of the biggest losers of this game is sort of the narrative, right? Because the narrative for the last 2 weeks has been, oh yeah, this team, you know, they're really good against crappy teams and they're really bad against good teams. Okay, riddle me this then. How did they lose to the Jets? You know what I mean? If they're just this team that's going to come out and beat all the crappy teams, how did they lose to the Jets? It's hard to explain. So we're dealing with more than just some simple narrative that can be explained by something, you know, as mundane as that. I want to talk about how the Cowboys in the first half, all right, in the first half of these last 3 weeks, because nobody's going to deny that the Cowboys were great and their offense was humming in the first 2 weeks of the season when they beat up on the Giants, the Redskins, and the Dolphins. I'm talking about these last 3 weeks, the game at New Orleans, the game against the Green Bay Packers last week, and the game on Sunday on the road against the New York Jets. Do you know how many points the Cowboys have in all three of those first halves? Again, to be clear, we're talking about the first half against New Orleans, the first half against Green Bay, and the first half against New York. So you combine all three of those first halves, that's 6 total quarters. Do you know how many points they have in all of those first halves combined? 9. They have 9 points. I'm not talking 9 scores, like, you know, 3, you know, touchdowns and 6 field goals or inverse or whatever. I'm talking literally 9 points. They had 3 points in the first half against New Orleans. They had a goose egg in the first half against Green Bay, and they had 6 points in the first half against the Jets. They do not have a single touchdown in the first half in each of the last 3 games. That is a very troubling piece of information, my friends. That is extremely troubling. In fact, the Dallas Cowboys went the first three games, first three quarters of this game against the Jets without a touchdown. Look, score however many touchdowns you want, but the fact is, in the game, I'm not an analytics expert, but in the game of football, touchdowns are kind of important. And the Cowboys, they really have just become these masters of creating the most difficult circumstance and then, you know, keeping it close and, you know, almost coming out of it. That's, you know, was really highlighted, obviously, against Green Bay. Think about the situations they've sort of developed and then lost. They lost in New Orleans to a team that did not score a touchdown. Think about that. I mean, think about if I told you, forget Cowboys, forget whoever, just any general, generic football team. You're going to score a touchdown. They're not. And they're going to win. That would sound stupid, right? I mean, like, it really would. And that happened to them in New Orleans. Green Bay was whatever. They fell down 31-3 early. They were never going to get out of that hole against any team, especially against Aaron Rodgers. And this game against the Jets, I mean, they spotted them. It was 21-3. I mean, it was at one point in time, it looks great because the Cowboys, I don't want to say great, but you get my point. It looks passable or it looks not flagrant because the Cowboys lost 24-22. But at one point, they were losing 21-3 to the New York Jets. Okay, that needs to be said over and over and over again. This was the New York Jets. And there will be some people, although it does feel like it's a really small minority, some people that say, yeah, man, well, they were down 21-3 and, you know, they lost 22-24. They went on a 19-3 scoring run. That's true, but that's part of the problem. They keep digging these holes and then it's so difficult for them to come back. Offensively, it's hard to understand what the Cowboys are doing, all right? And I know they were down Tyron Smith, they were down Lyle Collins, they were down Randall Cobb, and Amari Cooper exited the game early with his quad injury. And by the way, that is a point of huge concern as we are certainly moving and grooving towards a gigantic game in the NFC East, really the NFL as a whole, next Sunday night. The Dallas Cowboys host the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football. That game is gonna be a mamma jamma. I mean, that is but we'll get to that later. We'll have Michael Kist from Bleeding Green Nation on this week to talk about things with him. It'll be fun. Again, we know those guys really well and it's a lot of fun and we do enjoy the playful banter, but I mean, I know they're down, all those guys, and that's not ideal, but you got to find a way. And I wrote about this after the game. You know who's got to find a way there? Jason Garrett. You got to find a way, man. I know you're down your tackles, you're down Randall Cobb, you're down Amari Cooper, but guess what? You've got to find a way. And it would be true that Jason Garrett had to find a way, even if the Cowboys were playing the New England Patriots. Like, do you get my point? Like, the message of that would literally be just as true. You would still have to find a way. Missing XYZ should not matter to the head coach. You should be the driving force that propels your team to victory in moments like that. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night. They beat the crap out of the Los Angeles Chargers with who at quarterback? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and that's a really great example of Mike Tomlin and the great coach that he is, which is probably why Dan Snyder wants to hire him in Washington or whatever. But I mean, that's my point. And so while it would be true of any team that you are playing, all right, that point is made. The fact that you couldn't propel your team to victory over the New York Jets is extremely troubling. And I had some tweets about this, and hopefully if you are one of the people arguing with me, you're listening now so you can hear the context behind this point. A lot of people tweeting with me during the game, because look, the hatred for Jason Garrett is out, right? Like, that's where we're at. This week is going to be a fire Jason Garrett week. Jason Garrett sucks. Jason Garrett's trash. I mean, this week is going to be really, really, really bad for Jason Garrett. And, you know, think about this. And I don't want to get too far into the Philly thing, but if the Cowboys were to lose against Philadelphia, they're on a bye. This is the last Cowboys game before their bye. They do not return until Monday, November 4th, where they'll be on the road against the New York Giants back in the very same stadium that they just played in, okay? And so if that were to be the case, we would literally be going from the Dolphins game. What day did the Dolphins game happen on? The Dolphins game was September 21st, something like that. I mean, so let's see here. The Dolphins game took place on September 22nd. I was really close. So you would be going from September 22nd to November 4th without a Cowboys win. The entire month of October, that would be toxic. I mean, this is going to be a bad week, okay? But if they don't beat the Eagles, Ooh, it is going to be tough. But so anyway, so the discussions I got into and on Twitter with people, because people are trashing Jason Garrett. Look, it's totally fair. Again, the fact that the Cowboys were not able to beat the Jets is a huge indictment against Jason Garrett. I'll be the first person to say that. I do believe that Jason Garrett is a great leader. And I've said that before. He is, you know, and people verbalize this in different ways, but the most popular way is he would be an incredible CEO. I mean, that is true. He really is an amazing leader. And somebody was getting into it with me and talking about this, and I was saying, dude, look, his flaws are as a football coach, but he is an amazing and a remarkable leader. He has an amazing ability to connect with people. And so that part of his game is not that troubling. It's literally everything else, which kind of sucks. And that's why, to me, you know, the video clip, and I tweeted this out, we tweeted it on Blog of the Boys, it's on blogoftheboys.com, it's on our Instagram page and stuff. Again, if you follow us in any capacity, you'll see this, and you probably know what clip I'm talking about, of Joe Thomas and Malik Collins walking over to the sideline after Sam Ficken hits the field goal that puts the Jets up 8 late in the game. And Jason Garrett, like he always does, he's just kind of, and I don't mean to incite jokes, but he's kind of clapping and kind of motivating and putting his hands out looking for high fives, and he is just ignored by Joe Thomas and Malik Collins. And it could be a number of things. I mean, maybe they were blinking and missed it. You know what I mean? Like, there's potentially a very reasonable explanation, but it looks really bad. It looks like the players are ignoring him in that moment, obviously because they're losing, obviously because they're frustrated, whatever the case may be. And you don't see that. Again, you know, he is a great leader. His teams typically never quit on him. And so to see that was a little concerning, because that we've never seen that, no matter how bad it's gotten for the Cowboys. And the worst it got was obviously the 2015 season. But even during the 2017 season, when it got really bad, and by the way, the Cowboys have now lost 3 games in a row. This is the first time they've lost 3 games in a row since 2017. They lost Because I'm not going to go back and tape this. That's not how we roll here on the Ocho. They lost the first 3 games without Zeke when he was suspended. That was the last time they lost 3 games in a row. They lost on the road in Atlanta. That was the burning of Atlanta, the Chaz Green game. Then they lost at home to the Philadelphia Eagles on November 19th. That is literally the greatest loss, or the worst loss from a, point scored, a point discrepancy, point disparity standpoint in AT&T Stadium's history. And then they lost at home to the Los Angeles Chargers on Thanksgiving Day. Those 3 days, those 3 games, the Cowboys scored in the single digits. It is the only time in Dallas Cowboys history that the offense has failed to break double digits in 3 consecutive games. So it was a really bad run. It's the first time they've lost 3 games since then. Even in those days, the Cowboys did not quit on Jason Garrett. But seeing that moment, the not high-fiving him thing, I don't want to make a big deal about that, but it was a little concerning. The rest of the coaching staff, I think, deserves a lot of blame. I think Kellen Moore, what happened, dude? I mean, what happened to Kellen Moore? Why are we running on 2nd and 10, Kellen? What happened? I mean, I know that, you know, personnel-wise, the Cowboys were missing some important people, but Kellen Moore just has clammed up. I mean, we are not seeing the same guy. We're not seeing the same aggression, even the same decoration that we saw in the first 3 weeks of the season. We're seeing, you know, far less pre-snap motion, far less play action, far less passing on first down. I mean, you know, Kellen, it was working. Go back to that. But you know who else deserves a lot of criticism? And I wrote about this in my 10 Losers article. You know, this dude is hyped, and there are a lot of tweets and a lot of points out there. We need to fire Jason Garrett, and we need to promote Chris Richard. He needs to be the head coach. Dude, Chris Richard is a really, I'm not saying that Chris Richard is even bad, but Chris Richard would be a great movie coach, right? He would be awesome in any movie or reboot or Friday Night Lights, although they hope they don't reboot that because they're rebooting everything and ruining it. By the way, I did not realize that they were rebooting Dr. Doolittle. That looks awful. But anyway, Chris Richard, what has he done to the Cowboys secondary? I know that Byron Jones played really well last year, but the Cowboys secondary is awful. I mean, it is basuda. I mean, Chidobe Awuzie is the worst starter on the Cowboys defense right now. And that's a defense that includes the GOAT, Jeff Heath. Chido looks I mean, just really bad. Jordan Lewis, obviously, I mean, you know, we're all in the same boat here. We're all of the same mindset that the Cowboys should play Jordan Lewis more. We all believe that. I don't understand why they won't. I mean, we all understand why they won't. It's the physical limitations that he has in their eyes, which is ridiculous. That's the point. I mean, dude, at a certain point, you play the better football player. That's Jordan Lewis. But, I mean, wow. I mean, I just, the love for Chris Richard has really, 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 really been generous when the results just haven't been there. So, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to see how Chris Richard would do better than Jason Garrett at this particular time. The offense, again, I mean, I don't know how fair it is to trash the whole thing because they were missing people, but they've got to find a way to get it done. And there was an interesting quote that came out during this game because it was on CBS. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo were on the call. Tony Romo kind of lit Twitter up because he said that, you know, the offense had Jason Garrett's fingerprints all over it. I think the context behind that quote is very necessary, so I want to play it for you. Here's Tony Romo on the CBS call during Cowboys Jets talking about the Cowboys offense.
And a lot of it's because they're trying to throw the ball down the field and get it, and they are. I would like to see them get a little more situational as far as on the road, pressure times, if not. They've had a lot of success. Jason Garrett and Kellen Moore, I see a lot of Jason Garrett's footprints in this offense. I actually think not everyone sees it, but this is going back to an 07-09, and it's really
second and 11 and pounce.
Now, Romo obviously didn't get to finish making this point because a play happened and whatever, but while he did say that he would do things a little differently, it wasn't like you think. It wasn't like, I see Jason Garrett's fingerprints all over this offense. I thought it was actually complimentary. In fact, he was talking about how Jason Garrett wants to get the offense back to a 2007-2009 version of the team. Those are two of the most prolific offenses in Dallas Cowboys franchise history that Jason Garrett happened to be the offensive coordinator for. And I don't know that the offense is a huge problem. I mean, they're a huge problem in terms of starting up, all right? I mean, you ever mow the lawn and it just takes like forever to get the thing going? We got a new lawnmower recently at my house and it's battery operated. It's kind of interesting now that I think about it. And so it's nice. It's kind of a pain though because I had to buy an extra battery because it would die on me and then I would have to. Anyway, the whole point is, you ever like, you know, just take, you know, have an old school lawnmower, like maybe your dad's or your grandpa's or whatever, and you had to mow your grandparents' lawn or something like that, and it just took you like 30 minutes to start the thing up. I mean, you were like yanking it. I mean, you know, that's kind of what the Cowboys offense is like, but it's still, I mean, they did have over 350 yards. I mean, total offense. I mean, let's look at this again. Total offensive yards for the Cowboys, they had 398 total net yards. I mean, so almost 400 yards for the Cowboys. And I know that a lot of that is kind of junk time, and a lot of that is kind of hard to qualify. And there is something to be said in terms of what's inhibiting the offense to the point, you know, that they're hurt, you know, right? I mean, when we go back to the last time the Cowboys lost three games, the first game was that game in Atlanta, and they were missing Tyron Smith. I mean, Tyron is very clearly an important component to the Cowboys offense, and they were also missing Lyle Collins. They were also missing Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb. I mean, you know, that being said, you've got to be better. I mean, you've got to be better. This is just, it's unacceptable. I mean, it really is unacceptable. We have a lot of questions. We threw out a request for questions on Twitter and over email. So we have a lot of questions, and I want to get to them. I want an opportunity to answer all of them because this is all of us getting together, man. We're all in a room. I hope you brought some snacks. I brought some animal crackers. I bought the big tin at Costco, and we're just going to sit down. We're all going to sit and get with our food, our snacks. We're going to powwow this out. We're going to get through this together because today sucks, but it sucks a little bit less because we're in a collective group, right? This is our way of compartmentalizing what we saw from the Cowboys against the Jets. So we're going to get to the questions, but before we do, we're going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Okay, so a very big thank you to everybody who sent questions, who tweeted in, you know, their thoughts, their comments, their questions, their concerns. A very big thank you to everybody who made fun of our tweet or we thought the Jets were not going to be a big deal. That was not a good thing, but it happened. Anyway, first question comes to us via email. Joel Rodriguez wants to know about Cowboys Fan Pulse. By the way, Fan Pulse is something we do every week at SB Nation, where we do sort of chronicle the pulse of fans, right? We look at how each fan base is doing and we measure it, you know, a 1 to 100%, how confident each fan base is in the team. Cowboys fans had a 22% confidence level in the state of the team entering the Jets game. So my goodness, it's going to dip. So Joel writes, says, I subscribe to the Blog of the Boys podcast and appreciate you and everyone at the site. Appreciate you, Joel. Be like Joel. Subscribe to the Blog of the Boys podcast feed. If you do, you get access to all four of our shows. Subscribe in one place. Make sure when you subscribe, you give us a rating, write a review. Those things are very much appreciated. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Joel says, I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan, over 30 years now. I got to say, man, this game against the Jets is just terrible. Even if we somehow get to overtime and win, I think my fan pulse will be next to zero. We can't seem to get out of our own way. What the hell is going on? Is it coaches? Is it poor execution? Both. My frustration with this team is through the roof. I'm almost ready to give up on the season. Talk me down, brother. Talk me down. Well, look, there's no need to give up on the season, and I know that this is a really dark day, and we have a lot of questions in this sort of same light, so thank you, Joel. The reason to not give up, first of all, is the Cowboys are 3-3. In fact, the Cowboys are in first place in the NFC East. They're technically tied with the Eagles, but you know how tiebreakers and stuff go. And I tweeted this out in the aftermath of the loss, but because everybody was so pissed off, I don't know that the point really landed. So we've already said, right, the Cowboys did not have Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Amari Cooper, essentially, and Randall Cobb in this game. And if I had told you before this game against the Jets, okay, in this, we'll talk to Joel here. Okay, Joel, you can only have Tyron, Lyle, Amari, basically, and Randall Cobb for one of these next two games. Which of the two would you have picked, right? You would have picked the Eagles game, right? If you could only have them for one of the two games, you would have picked the Eagles game. In fact, there were a lot of people saying when Tyron was thought to maybe be able to give this a go, when he was, you know, flirting with the idea and stuff all week long, there were a lot of people saying, you know what, just rest him. Don't even take the chance. Just rest him, get him ready for Philadelphia, because that game is so important. If you're going to lose a game in the NFL, look, you shouldn't lose, and you shouldn't lose to the Jets, but if you're going to lose, you want to lose to an AFC team. That's why the Cowboys are technically in first place right now over the Eagles. And so, you know, the reason to not give up on the season, there's 10 games left. And this is a team that a year ago was 3-5, actually, and won 10 games, won the division, won a playoff game. So it's far from over. It's far from even determined. In terms of what the problem is it coaches? Is it poor execution? It is both. I mean, the coaching staff seems to not be prepared for what's happening. And that's a lot of why these slow starts are happening. You know, something that is impressive is how the Cowboys respond in third quarters. And it does seem like they've sort of flipped, because for a long time, the Cowboys would get the ball to start games and their offense would really dominate. I mean, they had like a plus 52 point differential off the top of my head in the first quarter last year, but their worst point differential last season was in the third quarter. This season, it's like the Cowboys just are using the whole first half to like feel out the game. And then in the third quarter, they've had the opportunity at halftime to discuss, to figure out, to dissect, to put together a plan, and that's how they look so good. They just, it's weird. It's like they've completely, totally sort of switched bodies in that regard. But it's poor coaches, it's poor execution, and I would throw in it's injuries, although that is a bit of an excuse. From Robert Vecchio, hope I pronounced that correctly, Robert. Subject line, Garrett's gotta go. So I wonder what Robert wants to talk about. Robert says, I've never been on the fire Garrett bandwagon before, but I'm jumping on. A team with this much talent not executing. It's the only move left. Not like we can trade our first round pick for a playmaker this year to turn around. I'll say this, and I mean this as least pessimistically as it will sound. What if the Cowboys don't have all this talent, right? I mean, like, you know, For example, I think if you asked any Atlanta Falcons fan, they would be like, this team is so talented. This is a Super Bowl caliber team. And maybe you think it is too. You know what I mean? But my point is, I think that every, and I'm not at all trying to say that Cowboys fans are delusional. That's not my point. But I think that every fan base really values their roster. And so we look at it, and there are certainly a lot of, you know, Pro Bowl and all pro players. And I use that distinction because it's an objective measurement for how talented a given player is respective to his peers. But, you know, I think Cowboys fans, for example, elevate Chidobe Awuzie. I think Cowboys fans elevate, you know, before Malik Collins, although Malik is really, you know, playing well this season, although he did have the horse collar penalty. I think Cowboys fans elevate Antoine Wood sometimes, although his absence was certainly a big deal. I think Cowboys fans, my point is, I think Cowboys fans elevate the roster to say it's really talented. What if it's not? I mean, you know, what if that's part of the problem, that the roster just isn't this perfect one? You know, that is possible. I mean, I don't know that you can, and believe me, I don't think that Jason Garrett should be absolved of any blame here, but I don't know that it's fair to place all of the responsibility on the coaching side of this thing. There is a lot of blame to go around, and a lot of it belongs on the players. I mean, where are the hot boys? All right, where are the hot boys? And I'm not at all on this DeMarcus Lawrence sucks train that seems to be going around town, but where are the hot boys? The Philadelphia Eagles had 10 sacks on the Jets last week, and that was Luke Falk, and a lot of those are coverage sacks and a quarterback not really knowing what he's doing, and so the presence of Sam Darnold certainly changes that. But the Cowboys had 2. All right, they had 20% of the sacks that the Eagles had. Both of them were Robert Quinn. That's a problem. I mean, you know, the Hot Boys are supposed to be this talented team, right? That's part of the group that we're saying is talented enough to get to a Super Bowl. I mean, where are they? Leighton Vander Esch has been awful this season. Chidobe Awuzie has been awful. I mean, I don't know that the talent is theoretically there in some places. I think that people may have overvalued the state of the talent of the Cowboys roster. Thanks for the question, my friend. Travis Nelson says, I love BTB, so shout out to you, Travis. Says, what do you think the true problem is, or what do you think this team needs to do to be a playoff team like they can be? I think the defense has played terribly so far, and that the offensive play calling isn't the greatest either. It's true that the Cowboys offense has kind of forgotten the whole point of the game, which is to score a lot of points. Defensively, the Cowboys are playing really terribly. That's kind of the point we're making. I mean, I think, you know, what needs to happen, and this is a really lame and cliche answer, so I apologize in advance, but they need to play a complete game. Right, like this was the Brett Maher game to a degree. I mean, he missed a field goal. By the way, I wrote something. This is coming out Monday morning at BTB. Brett Maher has played in 22 games for the Dallas Cowboys. He has missed a kick of some kind, whether that be a field goal or an extra point, in 11 of them. That's half. In half of the games he's played, he's missed at least one kick. That is not ideal. But so the point is, you know, the first 3 weeks, people were concerned about the defense, right? And while the offense was humming and humming. And then in New Orleans, the defense shows up. They don't even allow a single touchdown against the Saints, right? But the offense is nowhere to be found. Against Green Bay, it all kind of fell apart. And against the Jets, I don't want to say it all fell apart, but it all broke kind of at the same time. They haven't played a complete game. And that, I think, is coaching. That, I think, is not being prepared. That, I think, is playing down to your opponent, which is something the Cowboys have done for a long time now, not just the 2019 season. From Brian Rogers, another email. When is it time to hit the panic button? Do we think any moves need to be made prior to the October 29th deadline? Do we think any depth chart adjustments need to be made throughout this upcoming week? Appreciate you, Brian, sending a question over. So, panic button, I think we're still a ways away from. This is definitely time to be concerned, right? I'm not dismissing that. It's definitely time to have the conversation like, whoa, what's going on? That's a conversation we're having for sure. Okay, but panic button, I think, is if they fall to 3-5, you know, and that would require, by the way, losses to the Eagles and the Giants. That would maybe be time to panic a little bit. Although, again, like I just said, they were 3-5 last year and, you know, pulled out of that. Although that's a really rare thing. If they lost to the Eagles, it'd be time to start warming up the panic. You know, like, it was really cold last weekend, right? I say really cold, but, you know, I live in San Antonio. It was like 50 degrees. Okay. And I wanted to wear like a pair of sweatpants when I went and did the Saturday morning hangover on ESPN San Antonio, right? Because it was Saturday, you know, Saturday morning, dude, I'm not throwing on jeans or anything. Anyway, so I wanted to throw on a pair of sweatpants. But you know how sometimes, like, if you got a pair of sweatpants that have been sitting in like your drawer for like since all like winter ended, they smell like the drawer. So I had to wash them real quick. That's what I'm saying. So like, it's not quite time to like put on the panic button pants, but it's definitely time to wash them if the Cowboys lose to the Eagles, because it will be time to wear them soon. I hope that analogy made sense. In terms of depth chart adjustments, I think, you know, people are going to say this all week long and it makes sense. Jordan Lewis needs to start. I think, or Chidobe Uze should not be starting for the Cowboys. He's a liability at this point, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate the situation that the Cowboys sort of have going on at at cornerback opposite of Byron Jones. But now Byron's hurt a little bit, or got banged up in this game, and so did Anthony Brown. I mean, the Cowboys, we got to see where they are from an injury standpoint, but that would be the move for me. I mean, you've got to get Jordan Lewis involved somehow, some way. Let's go to Twitter. Dakota Warren, I'm sure no relation to Dakota Rain, or Rain Dakota, excuse me. Dakota Warren says, hey, RJ, here's a question for the post-game episode. What about the 3-3 Cowboys makes me optimistic for the rest of the season? Well, I would say this, that the Cowboys had 398 total offensive yards against the Jets. And we've kind of seen them. They are in the same way that they're this like third quarter team, right? Like, or Dak was a third quarter guy. It was perfect in the third quarter and everything. I mean, they kind of are a team that can turn it on when they want, right? And that's kind of, we saw that a little bit against Green Bay, and we saw that to a larger degree against the Jets. It's kind of like when the going gets tough, when the moment is brightest, when the lights are brightest, you know, the Cowboys can kind of buckle down and try to figure it out. The problem is you don't have to be down 21-3 or 31-3 to, you know, sort of hit that mentality. How about you hit that mentality from the moment? So that would be my sort of, you know, my biggest point of optimism is they're certainly capable. It's just they've had issues, and those issues need to be overcome. And whether they can or can't be remains to be seen. JC just chimes in and says that I was saying that the Cowboys would beat the Jets easily upset him. I'm sorry, JC. Again, look, this crow, it sucks. I'll be honest. The crow sucks. So we did have a tweet, and shout out to all of you who responded on Twitter with questions. Those were the DMs and the emails. So let's go to our tweets. Chris Randall on Twitter at Chris Randell, that's RANDELL, says, could we speak to who is more responsible for the defense currently between Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard? The defense has been suspect against decent or better teams and not trending in the right direction currently. I think it's Chris Richard. I mean, look, Rod Marinelli is not, you know, not doing a great job. Nobody is. The entire coaching staff is doing a really bad job. But we have all elevated Chris Richard, and it's been a big point of sort of highlighting, I guess, that Chris Richard is in charge. You know, and obviously every week coordinators do phone calls with opposing media and things like that. Chris Richard does those now for the Cowboys. I mean, this is to a large degree his defense. I think the blame, you know, I would say it's like, it is 51-49, you know, really here. But the, however you want to shake it out, if you want to go 60-40, I won't lose sleep over that. But I mean, it's on Chris Richard at this point, more so than it is Rod Marinelli. Ben Dunn. Oh, friend of the show, Ben Dunn. Had a great dinner with Ben in Atlanta last season when the Cowboys went to Atlanta and won the Leighton Vanders game. On Twitter at I've Ben Dunn. Very clever. Says, I'm not hating, but I would like to know where the man who was demanding all that money in the offseason has been. In short, where is DeMarcus Lawrence? This is a very popular question. Look, I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence is not racking up sacks, right? We all know that. Now, DeMarcus Lawrence's presence is being felt. I mean, Robert Quinn had both of the sacks. Those don't come as easily without DeMarcus Lawrence there. The fact is, though, DeMarcus Lawrence, while, you know, is still present and is still having an impact, people are going to expect more. I mean, when you get paid like that, people are going to expect more. That's the pressure. And DeMarcus is really great about that, I think, about owning up to that. But, I mean, where is he? He's hogging a lot of attention. That's really all you can say about DeMarcus Lawrence right now. Although, I mean, he's getting pressure. It's just not showing up the same way. I mean, he had the play on Aaron Rodgers last week where it should have been a fumble. You know, he had that. I mean, so it's not like he's getting skunked out there. You know, I think he's having his moments. They're just not as sexy as they have been in seasons past. Brian on Twitter at Walt on Code R. So I don't know what that's short for, but, says, is it reactionary to fire JG, or is it long overdue? there's no way Jason Garrett's getting fired before the season ends. And I'm not saying that to upset you. I'm not saying that to cause an argument. I'm not saying that. The reason I'm saying this is because of all the Twitter questions we have, that's a really popular one. All right, I'm not going to roll through all the ones that suggest firing Jason Garrett. But there's no way that they're going to fire him. I mean, there's not. This is a really important season for the Cowboys in a lot of ways. I mean, because at the end of the season, they're going to have to pay Dak Prescott. They're going to have to pay Amari Cooper. They're going to maybe have to pay Byron Jones. They have already just paid DeMarcus Lawrence, which we already mentioned, Jalen Smith, Lyle Collins, Zeke Elliott. I mean, their nucleus is in place. And I know that you think, and I'm not talking specifically to Brian anymore, but I know that there's a population of people that think, oh, we'll just move on from Jason Garrett and it will be fine. I don't know that that's even necessarily the case. And I'm not saying that as this like, oh, the Cowboys should keep Jason Garrett thing. The reason I'm saying that is you have no idea, I mean, what a new head coach would bring. It could be incredible. It could be Lincoln Riley, all those things. Or it could be really bad. I mean, it could be, you know, John Fox. I'm not saying the Cowboys would hire John Fox, but I'm saying it could be that quality of a hire, that quality of a result. And, you know, somebody who you don't know, somebody who you can't predict, somebody who you can't determine, inheriting all that talent, I mean, that's going to shape the next half decade of this organization. And so I think it is reactionary to fire him in this moment for that same reason. Again, you've seen this guy very recently crawl out of a 3-5 hole. Hopefully that's not necessary this season. And look, if they beat the Eagles on Sunday, I mean, a week from now, we're talking about a whole different situation as they head into the bye. So it's definitely reactionary, but more important, it's not happening. Anthony Beard on Twitter at Mighty Ant 2942, my bad, says, I do have one question. Do we really suck this bad? Really? With all the talent on this team? Really? That kind of goes back to what we talked about a little while ago. I mean, it's possible that this is more of an average roster than a great roster, right? Like that's possible. And I think the reality is that we're accepting that might in fact be the case. Carolina. I won Rock the Mic with ESPN San Antonio now 3 years ago. I won Rock the Mic 1. Carolina won Rock the Mic 2. So shout out to Carolina at Carolina Teague with an underscore on Twitter. Says, do you think Brett Maher's inconsistency with short kicks is going to be an ongoing issue this season? 100%. I absolutely think it's going to be an issue this season. I talked about the bad tweet that we had from the BTB account. I had another bad tweet last week when I said, oh, the Cowboys should be grateful for Brett Maher, blah, blah. Bad tweet, right? Look, I mean, who he was against the Jets was who he is. He made 75% of his field goals. That's who he is. He's a 75% field goal kicker. He's 50% in terms of making all of his kicks in a given game, which is evidenced by the fact that he's missed at least one kick in 11 of his 22 games. That is absolutely who he is. So, yes, the question is, it's going to be that shaky. The answer is, I don't know, because what's available? I mean, honestly, I'm fully acknowledging that Brett Maher is an issue, but what is available? I mean, and it kind of feels like you've got Justin Tucker, and then that's it, right? Like, that's it. The days of Dan Bailey have come and gone, and I'll own up to this. I killed the Cowboys for the Dan Bailey thing for a long time. I wrote a lot of articles about how it didn't make sense. They were 100% right in moving on from Dan Bailey, and the Brett Maher struggles of now do not change that. All right, I know Dan Bailey was NFC Special Teams Player of the Week last week, and I know he's doing all right now, but the reality is, since Dan Bailey has joined the Minnesota Vikings, he has, number one, not been the Dan Bailey that he was with the Dallas Cowboys, and number two, been, from a field goal percentage standpoint, essentially the same field goal kicker that Brett Maher is. I mean, slightly better from a percentage standpoint, but also significantly more expensive. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Moving on, again, lots of fire Jason Garrett tweets. It is bad. Landry's a ghost on Twitter at Ghost Landry says, why has our defense gone backwards this year? Would you think Robert Quinn, Landry's ghost is saying, I would think Robert Quinn is more than an adequate replacement for Randy Gregory. So first of all, Robert Quinn is definitely an adequate replacement for Randy Gregory. Robert Quinn is playing like the best edge rusher, you know, or sort of secondary edge rusher we've seen on the Cowboys since DeMarcus Lawrence was secondary to Greg Hardy, from a football perspective, obviously. Why has the defense gone so backwards this year? This was a point of concern I brought up over the offseason. it's hard. I mean, it's hard to be a good defense year in and year out. And when I would bring this up, I talked about this on the pod. I talked about this on my radio show about how the Cowboys had to win their first three games of the season. And if you've been listening for a long time, you remember that discussion. And my point was that football's weird and you're going to lose weird games. I certainly didn't a lot for them losing to the Jets, but you get my point. And every time I brought that point up, I was met with, dude, this is a great defense. They're going to shut down all those teams, whatever. It is so difficult to be a great defense year in and year out. And the example I used was the 2017 Jacksonville Jaguars. During that season, people thought this defense is going to be around forever. This defense is going to be legit. And then in 2018, they fell off. And look where they are now. I mean, you know, it can happen that quickly. It's actually really impressive that the Chicago Bears are still, you know, a great defense given what they did last year. But it is very, very, very difficult. It's one of the more difficult things to repeat in the NFL is having a good defense. So why has the defense gone backwards? It's just regression to the norm. That's really what it is. Hunt on Twitter at Hunter Harrison, but Harrison is spelled with a J, so H-A-R-R Jason, says, why does Cowboys offense seem to get thrown out anytime this team faces any type of adversity? I think for the same reason that a lot of, you know, people do weird things when they face adversity. When you're facing adversity, you have crutches, right? Like when you know, if you feel insecure, you lean on something, right? Whatever that may be. That's kind of how the Cowboys are operating. When they face adversity, it's like, oh no, what do? Let's go back to what we know. Or let's run on 2nd and 10 or whatever. You know, that's the problem with Kellen Moore, I think. More questions about DeMarcus Lawrence, which is, again, a difficult situation. Craig Berry at Bear 1778 says, what is wrong with this defense? Again, I mean, it's going to happen. Riley in parentheses Dak for MVP at Riley 24_7 says, do you think Marinelli should be the defensive play caller again? I think at this point you're invested with Chris Richard. I mean, I didn't mean to paint the idea that he's like trash and he doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he certainly has not lived up to any hype, but I think that Rod Marinelli and Chris Richard have a balance going, and I think it works for them, and I think they've had success with it, certainly last season, and even certainly recently against New Orleans. So I think, you know, it's about being better, and that's a really lame answer, I know, but it's just about executing better. I mean, the Cowboys are not executing. Joseph Syke on Twitter at DJ_SYK, that's the Syke, says, is it time to find better secondary players? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, yeah. All right. The Cowboys should have paid Earl Thomas. All right. I mean, they should have. I love Jeff Heath. You know, friend of the show. Was on the Saturday morning hangover with us. Xavier Woods has certainly had moments where a lot of people have believed in him, and that includes myself. But Byron is Byron, but Cheeto is, dude, I mean, Cheeto is a great guy and another friend of the show. But, I mean, just not playing well. And so, yeah, I mean, it's at the very least, it's time to shuffle the deck. That's what it's time for. It's time to shuffle the deck, time to get some things a little bit different, time to sort of change how the Cowboys operate. So, you know, that's how I would answer that question. Giddy Up on Twitter at GiddyUp20 says, why is Jeff Heath still starting? Yes, he has his moments, but why haven't we seen Donovan Wilson out there yet? I think to answer that question, I think Jeff Heath has his moments, right? Like, that's part of the answer, honestly. And why haven't we seen Donovan Wilson? Because he's a rookie. I mean, rookies have struggles. I mean, just because Donovan Wilson is not Jeff Heath does not mean that he would be great. So, I mean, it just takes time. It takes time to learn that position. It takes time to learn the things of the NFL. Andre Minassian, hope I pronounced that correctly, Andre, on Twitter at Andre Minassian, that's Andre, A-N-D-R-E, M-I-N-A-S-S-I-A-N, says, do you think Garrett is losing the team? That is three straight games of no show in the first half. Totally unacceptable. That kind of goes back to the video we talked about. I don't think that Jason Garrett's losing the team. I don't, because that's not what happens. I mean, I know that this sounds really funny given the BTB tweet that we have, but it would take an utter implosion of the Dallas Cowboys for them to turn on Jason Garrett, because they never have before, all right? And I don't think that they're there. I think they're frustrated. I think they're pissed off. I think they're mad, but I do not think that they've lost the team. But I guess I'll say this. I think that the ground or the walls are just maybe not slightly cracking, but like, you know, you can, it's like when you feel an airplane fly over, like that's what's happening. That's the pressure that we're at. And in fact, I thought, you know, we'll play the other clip that we had here. I thought that Jerry Jones had a very interesting comment after the game when he met with media. And keep in mind, this was Jerry Jones' 77th birthday. Jerry is always very optimistic. Can't wait to hear what he has to say this week on 105 Through the Fan. But Jerry Jones was asked about this game and this team and had a really somber response. Here's Jerry on NFL Network.
Ultimately, if you're one of the really top teams, which we're not, we are not. We are. I hope that someday this season we could be one of the top teams. We're certainly not tonight.
It's really rare to hear Jerry Jones defeated like that. And there's no, you know, way of getting around this. I mean, this was a really disappointing loss. I mean, to be the first team that the 0-4 Jets beat when their quarterback's coming back from mono, I mean, you know, it makes sense that it would have you feeling low. But, I mean, even in those moments, Jerry typically finds a way to, you know, to be Jerry Jones. But that wasn't the case. I found that interesting. A very happy birthday, by the way, to Mr. Jones from the Ocho and from Blogging the Boys. Let's get to our final question. And there were a lot of them. Thank you very much to everybody who tweeted. Remember, we'll do questions all the time. You can always tweet us a question. You can tweet at Blogging the Boys. Probably a better, more direct way is to tweet it at me, at RG Ochoa. My DMs are open on Twitter. You can also DM me on Instagram. I'm at RJ Ochoa there. And if it's a little bit longer, you can shoot me an email if you don't want to DM rj.ochoa@sbnation.com. Final question comes from David Reese on Twitter at Cowboy Reese. Says, everyone, including me, is calling for Garrett to be fired. But seriously, why has it not happened? Nothing will ever change with him around. The definition of insanity. When will changes be made? David's referring to the iconic quote, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again with the results not changing, whatever. And when will it happen? I mean, if your end game, right, is Jason Garrett no longer coaching the Cowboys, the soonest possible day I believe that that would happen would be Black Monday, would be the Monday after week 17. I don't remember what day that falls on. I think week 17's game is like December 30th, right? Is that right? I can look this up again. I did this very fast last time, so shout out to me. Week 17 is in fact, oh, I was so close, December 29th. So that would be Monday, December 30th. That would be the soonest possible day. And it would have to involve the Cowboys not making the playoffs. And again, he wouldn't even be fired because Jason Garrett, and I'm talking from a technical standpoint, Jason Garrett's on the last year of his contract. He is on the hot seat. Like, he is coaching for his job. He's coaching for an extension. And that's kind of what, you know, the whole, you know, wow, they're really good when they're backed into a corner thing. I mean, Jason Garrett's really at his best then. I mean, we saw that, you know, now 5 years ago in 2014. So when will it happen? The soonest possible. That's what's going to be the case here. The Cowboys are either going to make, you know, some big hay and get to the playoffs and get to a conference championship game, or Jason Garrett's going to not have his contract renewed and pack up his office at the Star on December 30th. That's, you know, those are the only two ways this is really going to go. This was a way longer episode of the Ocho than we normally do. We're normally about 20 minutes. If you're new around here, we drop an episode every day at about, I don't know, like 4:30 in the morning. So it's ready for you as you go to work, as you go to the gym, whatever the case may be. And so we try to keep it about 20 minutes so it can just sort of be your daily dose of the biggest news, the biggest storylines. If you like the longer episodes, whatever, let us know. Feedback is always appreciated. I've already said, you know how to find me. Look, this sucks. All right. This week is going to suck. Believe me. But it's going to be okay. All right. I mean, I don't know that it's going to be okay from a Cowboys are going to win perspective. They've lost 3 games in a row now, but I know this, there is a gigantic game happening on Sunday between the Cowboys and the Eagles. And if the Cowboys find a way to win that, they have got some serious wind in their sails. And, you know, that's worth getting excited about. I know that it feels down and it feels depressing and all that, but you know, it's, Sunday's going to get here and we're all going to look forward to it and then we're all going to talk about it and we're going to figure out what happened and what went right and what went wrong. Cowboys lose to the Jets 24-22, 3-3 on the season now, losers of 3 in a row. And goodness gracious, we'll have you covered all week long with so much stuff at bloggingtheboys.com. Make sure to also subscribe to the Blogging the Boys YouTube channel. Follow me on the gram. I've been posting some stuff there like crazy, as well as Twitter, as always, at RJ Ochoa. And make sure, more than anything, you have a fantastic Monday. Just have the best Monday ever. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, Go Cowboys, and peace out.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.